sadly, the Planned Parenthood massacre of November 25th is not even the latest mass shooting in this country. We all grieve for the lives lost this week in San Bernardino, California, as well as the many other deaths that don't make the national headlines day after day. Our stubborn refusal to act in unison to try to end the endless bloodbath in this country is a topic for another time, many more times. But today I wanted to focus on the circumstances of the Colorado Springs shootings because they happened in the tinderbox of abortion rhetoric in this country. Joining me now is the Reverend Amanda Henderson, Executive Director of Interfaith Alliance of Colorado. Amanda, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Would you start by talking about the work that you've done since the shooting on the work of healing?
You know, when I first got the message and saw the alert come across my screen last Friday morning, my heart just sank, because this is something that we are all too familiar with and something that I know that the women's reproductive justice movement has been preparing for and fearing for a while. So I immediately knew that we were going to need to stand together and stand with them and bring positive messages of healing and support. So we right away reached out to our community, both our partners in Colorado Springs and our partners with Planned Parenthood and the women's reproductive justice movement in general, and asked how we could help, how we might be able to come together and hold them and hold one another in this time of grief. So our first place that we started was naming our common heartbreak. And no one wants to be in these situations again and again. And we are all heartbroken. And when we start in that place, I believe that that opens us up to a space of healing.
Mm-hmm. I've read reports of some tension that has made its way even into that setting where healing is so needed. Can you talk a little bit about the tension that you feel there?
Yeah, I think that part of that tension arises when there is this inclination to be speaking positive messages for hope. At the same time, we have got to speak out and name when words are being used as acts of violence and words are being used to fan the flames of fear. And so in that tension of even speaking out against hateful rhetoric becomes itself a divisive act. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that tension is being able to both hold ground in naming what's right and naming that we must work for opportunity and equality and life for all people. And we need to speak out when something is obstructing that. At the same time, being able to do that in a way that doesn't further divide and further marginalize and further fan the flames of fear and division. It's a real dilemma for leaders in our time.
You know, that's exactly the core of what I wanted us to talk about today. When everybody seems to be locked in to their ideological silos, there's no hope for functioning together as one community anymore. How do you approach even beginning to bridge that divide?
I think that's a great question. I think that's the question of our time. And part of that has been fueled by this flippant use of words and this over-the-top rhetoric that each side has begun to participate in. So the first thing that we have to do is to step back from that. And that's hard to do. I think that that's a spiritual act of stepping back from the desire to lash back. And so being able to do that and to look for opportunities for genuine relationship and genuine dialogue. And too often we have these disconnected ways of throwing insults or lashing out without any sense of genuine relationship. And so we need more spaces and more opportunities to come together and have real conversations from a place of humility and strength. And that place of humility and stepping into that, that that's not a compromise of our deepest values. Mm-hmm. And I think that we see that from the tops of our political leaders and rhetoric down to blog posts and comment sections. And it's heartbreaking that those two have become so similar. But I think that we need leaders who are willing to step back from the hateful rhetoric and to enter into genuine, authentic relationship.
How much harm is it doing, Amanda, to the very fabric of America to have something as personal as reproductive rights endlessly politicized the way we've seen it lately?
I think that it is extremely damaging. So many women feel under attack continuously for their own bodies. And, you know, for a country that names this value of freedom and rights and equality, for half of our population to be consistently treated as though their body, their most personal piece of themselves, is the subject of this political fire, it's very disheartening. And I think that it is such a distraction to our ultimate goals of creating just and equal societies that we have spent so much time fighting about and spending so much money on both defending and the people who are attacking rights, when these resources could actually be spent to care for people holistically and to really address care for women through assuring that all people have a living wage and access to child care and health care, and that we would be so much better served as a country by actually addressing holistically what it means to care for all people rather than attacking and controlling women's bodies.
Every one of those issues you mentioned, which should be for the common good, is controversial, and it's at the center of political debate. And it just it makes you wonder if there's ever going to be a way that we can sit down and talk about the common good. To make that even worse, so often those controversial conversations end up using the language of religion. Have you found ways to at least try to overcome that?
Mm-hmm. I think that you bring up a really good point. And what we need right now is imagination. And we need to be able to come together and imagine what the common good looks like. And there is this vital disconnect over what the common good looks like. And it seems like if we could bridge these ideological divides by sitting together and naming what do we hope for as a society, what does it look like to actually live into the dream of the founding of our country? What does it look like, which we fell short from the beginning, we've never been there. What does it look like to walk into and to move toward greater equality and freedom and rights? How might all people experience that vision, starting from that place of looking forward and imagining, rather than, you know, we constantly get stuck in these retractable ideological arguments that take us nowhere. And, mm-hmm. and we know that. We do it again and again. So what might it look like to have leaders? And I really see that this is a pastoral role and a faith leadership, a prophetic vision across traditions that can really name what does it look like and invite people to reflect on that. Because you're right, when I, you know, when I name those issues that need to be addressed for women's care, it does move into these fragmented ideological divides. And so how might we imagine a future more holistically that actually serves the common good?
I want to ask you, if you will, just to, for a moment, draw from your obvious sensitivities and tell us what it's been like living in Colorado this past week.
It's been exhausting. And I think that people are worn down and they're tired of the fights and really hoping for actual change. And it feels like we're having the same arguments and debates again and again. And so I think that in Colorado right now, a lot of people are grasping and trying to figure out a way forward. And so many are also turning to one another. Mm-hmm. So in that exhaustion, we realize that we can't do it alone. So many groups and organizations are working to come together in this time. Not that anyone has the answers, but in a sense of grief that we can't keep doing this and we need each other. Mm-hmm. So this afternoon, actually, we have a gathering at the Colorado Muslim Society, our largest mosque here in Denver, and people across different divisions are coming together. And we'd actually planned this after the attacks in Paris and Beirut around the world, and then have since had other multiple tragedies. But our coming together, we've named very clearly that our intent is to grieve together and to stand in solidarity in hope that we can move toward a more holistic and life-giving future together. So in Colorado, there's this real dualness. There's the sadness and exhaustion and determination that there is another way.
You are a family member. You're a mother. You run an organization that's interested in religious freedom being protected and in policies that are for the betterment of our nation. You are a minister with all of those sensitivities. What's happening to Amanda Henderson right now?
I'm relying on friends and support systems and having good, deep conversations. I'm both being softened and strengthened. And I think that, especially as people who really care about the world and the future, we can have a sense that we can make a difference. And we have this sense of urgency. I particularly just have this deep sense of urgency to create change and to work for a better community. And there's this deep realization that this is long-term work and nothing worth doing can be done in one long lifetime. So these moments are a constant reminder that this work requires patience and endurance and strength. At the same time, I know that without my own personal foundation of my family, my husband and my children and neighbors and community, that I wouldn't have the strength to keep speaking and working and listening. So I am relying on those people and making sure that those relationships are staying strong and connected in the midst of this work.
Amanda, that's so helpful. I want to say to you, and I want to say to our listeners, I do this fairly regularly, I guess, but the vision of this radio show from the very beginning was to air conversations that are civil, that take seriously the issues that we're dealing with and recognize that there are different perspectives on it, but that we can talk about those issues in a way that is helpful and in a way in which we address both the heart and the mind, both law and compassion. And you've helped do that. Amanda Henderson is Executive Director of Interfaith Alliance of Colorado, an ordained minister. She's doing great work at a time when bringing people together across any kind of divide is an act of both spiritual necessity and of patriotism. Amanda, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. It's been a gift. Thank you so much.
Before we go, let me tell you, all of us lost a good friend when David Cohen, a former president of John Gardner's remarkable institution called Common Cause, died this week. I say all of us because David was a lobbyist for the people of the United States, the people of the United States. When it came to opening the windows of our government and demanding transparency in all government agencies so all could see inside, I had the pleasure of welcoming David Cohen as a member of the board of Interfaith Alliance. I always thought David was one of the most astute people I knew when it came to strategy and public policy. My characterization of David is an oxymoron. He was a practical idealist. He knew his values and would not compromise them, but he also was pragmatic in developing plans for seeing those values endorsed. David Cohen was a quiet, smart, wise, and passionate man whom some of us knew as a major influence in designing a strategy for defeating the nomination of Robert Bork as a justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. David Cohen will be missed by all who care about democracy, freedom, and religious liberty. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, I want to say a sincere thank you. We rely on listener support to keep this show on the air. As the end of the year gets closer, please consider a tax-deductible contribution to State of Belief and to Interfaith Alliance. If you've heard something on this week's show that you think really would be helpful to friends or acquaintances, please share it with them. It's very easy to do on Facebook, on Twitter, and at stateofbelief.com. Stateofbelief.com is also where you'll find extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. They need you. You need them. We all need each other. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
Was the son of a preacher man,
the only boy who could ever teach me.
Was the son of a preacher man.
Yes, he was.